Weekends were made for sports.
Now do the robot voice. I want to hear it again.
Meet more sharp robot.
That's a terrible robot voice.
A look at the weekend in sports with the inside story on the Blazers, the Ducks, and the Beavers.
Everyone, meet freelance alien bounty hunter, Shannon Sharp.
Shannon Sharp? The football guy?
Yeah, I hunt aliens now. Used to catch TDs, now I catch ETs.
You ever caught an alien, Shannon?
Not yet, Mr. Question, but I'll let you know when I do.
This is Sports Sunday with Mike Lynch.
Where are the turtles? Where are the turtles?
Come on, guys, get out of here.
Where are the turtles?
And Rashad Taylor.
Nobody calls me Lebowski. You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude, man.
On 1080 The Fan.
Hour number two, Sports Sunday here on 1080 The Fan and radio.com as well. Mike, do you have a radio outside of your car?
No, I do not. Is that bad?
I don't know.
No, the only radio I have is my car. And other than that, I've got the handy dandy radio.com app on my phone.
Yeah, because
download it on Apple and Google.
Because whenever I like pub that I'm going to be like hosting or doing something like that, I always let people know, like, oh, here's how you listen. I'm like, radio, 1080 AM. And I'm wondering how many people, I was like, I feel like that's an obligatory at this point. Like, well, yes, technically we are on AM.
Yes.
That's how it works.
If you are listening in the car right now, I guess unless you're listening on the app in your car, you're listening to us on AM radio. Good old fashioned AM radio. Yeah, I have not owned a radio since I was in high school.
My dad still has one of those big old like DeWalt yellow Workman's radio.
Yeah, we have one of those in the building here
that you take on the job site.
The one I had was, I guess technically I owned one in college for a little bit because I had like a alarm clock back in the day when we had clocks still instead of using our phones as our alarms. You know, you would set the clock to be your alarm, and I would always set it on the radio, always. And so I guess that was probably the last one I had was, I think that was college, maybe it was late high school, I can't remember exactly when it was, but I would set it up to wake me up at 6 a.m. to listen to the Z Morning Zoo on Z100 in New York, the morning show and the pop station. And I would just lay in bed because I didn't have to get up at 6 for school. I would lay in bed for like an hour and a half dozing and listening to their goofy antics, and then I'd get up and get ready to go. That's the last time I owned a radio. Is I had a radio alarm clock, and I had one of those like six CD boom boxes in my bedroom that has like the speakers on the side and then the big tower in the middle.
Yeah.
And that was also a radio. So those are the last two radios I had, which, so high school.
Yeah. Now that you mentioned the two speaker boom box combo. Yeah. With like the five disc player. I definitely had one of those as well.
I think everybody around our age had that at some point in their life during high school. It was very cool to be able to go through all 6 year CDs. God, it's so funny to think about that kind of technology and how good it was for the time. Mm-hmm. You're like, wait, I don't have to pick just one CD. I can put six in and then tell it when to switch CDs. And I can, and it's like, now you're like, yeah, give me shuffle on my 10,000 song Spotify playlist.
This song sucks. Next.
Oh, what's that song? Search for a title in the phone. Oh, here it is. Do you want to play it right now? Yep, I do. Then it was like, maybe everyone knows this who's listening to us, but if anyone who is listening to us is younger, is in their teens or early 20s and you never dealt with this, times were simpler back then. More confusing, actually. That's flipped. Times are simpler now. Times were way more complicated back then in terms of listening to a lot of music.
Yeah, a fun thing, and this probably just goes for all parents, is telling your kids about your technology that you grew up and what you had to do. I haven't told my son about dial-up yet and, you know, AOL and how that all went down. I think that's just like...
Is it weird that I always loved the dial-up noise? I would like do along with it as the AOL triple box was like loading in. I would like make the noises with it.
My God, that might be, now that noise is nostalgic, but at the time that is like nails on a chalkboard. That sound.
Really?
Yes.
No. I always just went along with it. I was like beep 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 beep.
Well,
I don't know why.
Now that you've done it,
clearly I was a weird kid.
Well, I mean, now that you've done it, I'm surprised no one hasn't made it into like a techno or EDM beat yet.
Oh, I'm sure they have. I'm sure somebody has at some point.
There's a YouTube dial-up tone remix.
Yeah.
AOL tone remix.
And then it's got like, wasn't there a tone when you logged in? It was like doo-doo-doo. You've got mail, because you always had mail because of spam.
40-year-old creeper emailing you.
Also, I am reminded of when I was a kid going into like chat rooms online.
ASL, bro.
ASL.
What's the ASL? I need to know what you are, how old you are, where you are.
Yes.
Tell me.
Yes, tell me it all so I can come find you. Just how creepy and unmoderated all of that was early on in the internet, where it's like you're like a 13-year-old teenager and you're just on the internet.
Oh yeah.
And I feel like back then it was like nobody knew what was there, so there was no regulation, there was no parental blocks. It was just kind of like, here we go.
You want to know the most like late 90s early 2000s way to get in trouble by that? I had a sibling who was doing that exact same thing. They were in chat rooms and talking and saying things that they shouldn't be saying at the age and having conversations.
Oversharing.
Yeah. Yes. And they were caught because one of their friends was filming what they were doing on a handheld camcorder. One with the videotape in it.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course. That was the only way you had it.
Big chunky one. So that was a thing that you just did that back in the day. If you had a camcorder, you just recorded everything that you would do.
We were practicing for current days.
Exactly. It was basically your version of the real world.
Yeah, that was how also, again, I don't know if anybody who's listening is actually of the age who wouldn't know this, but if you wanted to rewatch what you recorded, if you hadn't made it into a VCR, you had to plug the camera into your TV, slide the cassette in, and then open the window on it so you could fast forward and rewind it through the camera onto the TV. That's how you watched your home videos.
I
used to have fun doing that too. I would like go back to like see me as like a 1-year-old and like watch all those home videos.
Well, yeah, and there's like all our home videos are MIA. I don't know where they are. My dad has a lot of crap in the garage, so God knows what box where they're hiding. And there's part of me that obviously wants to resurface those and find like and watch old home videos. Granted, I don't have a VCR, so I would have to make that purchase as well. But those are probably like $10 at a Goodwill nowadays.
Maybe, yeah. Probably find it free on a side of a street somewhere.
But then again, I don't want to watch those videos because I don't want to cringe and watch old videos of myself and be like, my God.
Don't cringe. Just go, man, I was a kid. I was an idiot.
Oh, no. I already know what some of the videos are. We did David Letterman. We did me and the neighborhood kid, we would do a talk show. Oh, yeah. We tried to do it on talk show.
Joe wanted to get into talk radio from an early age.
I remember my sister did a music video. I think we did a couple Britney Spears songs. I was the videographer on that.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's plenty of videos that I would look at and just be like, my God.
And then you would share them immediately.
Look
at how silly I was as a kid.
Like. Give me likes.
Exactly. Look at you looking for the likes. Yeah, no, that is funny, though, that you would bring that up. I forgot about the camcorder thing totally. I would do that all the time. We had so many tapes, and I liked watching it for whatever reason, and I would just hook it up to my little TV in my bedroom, and then away we go.
Now if someone like pulled out a camcorder and just started recording you in your everyday life, you'd be like, dude, what the hell are you doing? What are you doing? Get that away.
The quality on that can't be that good. Why are you using that?
Well, and saying like with disposable cameras, like if someone just pulled out a disposable camera now and was taking like candid pictures of you, you'd be pissed. You'd be like, what are you doing? Even if someone did that with their phone, just like started, you know, snapping pics of you in your everyday life, like in the living room and things. We used to do that with disposable cameras,
yep,
right?
The random pics.
Those in the moment pictures. Yeah. If someone did that now, you'd be like, dude, delete that picture. Yeah, right.
What are you doing?
Now.
Do not share that. Look at how bad this looks. Look at the angles.
Every picture now is like a pose. Like we are taking a picture for whatever social media for it to go on.
Another great point. Yeah, because every picture can be posted at the snap of a finger. Yeah. So back then it was like only you and one other person were seeing the pictures from the disposable camera.
I can't wait to get these developed.
And then like five of them are messed up and they have like weird ghosts on top of them. Those are always really disappointing too.
Disposable cameras in America past.
I think they still exist.
Oh, they do.
I don't know where you would go to get them.
I'm guessing like Walgreens, like Rite Aid, those kind of stores.
Okay. They still have old fashioned like development centers?
My guess is that, oh yeah.
Go into the dark room and dip them in the water or whatever it took.
24 hour photo turnover.
I remember that so well. Oh my God.
Gosh.
Memories.
Yes. So as I said, cameras, disposable cameras and camcorders, an American pastime, but baseball also an American pastime. And we didn't get to there, but we will after the commercial break here on Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
Weekend sports with a difference. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
We finally got our first major American sport back in action.
Woo! And it's the best one!
That's right, folks. Cornhole. Wait, no, baseball. Baseball is back. MLB baseball. Returned on Thursday?
Thursday it was opening day with Yankees Nationals rain-shortened game, of course. And then Dodgers Giants. Then yesterday was opening day for most people. And then, day three today. Or, no, day three was day four today. Whoa. Days. Day four.
You know the commercials for like Viagra and Cialis when they're like, call your doctor if you've had an erection for 4 hours?
I do know that.
Yeah, I had to call my doctor because basically since Thursday, I have been aroused at every side of baseball that I have seen. It has just been magical.
This is the best worst thing that could happen with COVID, because you mentioned it before the break in the break, we were talking about the Marlins have four players who now have to quarantine or whatever the MLB's rules are because of COVID.
Mike, stop being so real. Okay. I need optimism.
Well, so this is what I'm saying. I've talked about this on this show. I've talked about it before. I've been doing okay without sports. Like I had been doing fine. I have other hobbies that I like to do. I missed it, but I was doing fine. Now that I've had the taste, the little taste of having baseball back, the Timbers to watch again, and the Premier League was back and just finished today, final day of the season. If we have to bail on sports a second time, I don't think I'm going to be fine anymore. I was okay. And now it's back, and I realized, oh, I missed this.
Right.
Oh, I missed having this as a thing that I could focus on. You know, I did a fantasy baseball draft on Wednesday, and, it was a short season. We're not putting any money in it because of the weird kind of stuff that's going on, obviously. But I'm, like, back. I'm back in, baby. Like, don't take the baseball away from me now, please. Come on, everybody, be smart out there and follow all the protocols. And even though you're traveling and staying in hotels and it's a disaster, please don't be a disaster. Please work out.
Yeah, I'm definitely trying to stay optimistic now that it has returned, because same thing, now that you see it on TV. And last night as I was doing the prep, I was on the NBA subreddit and looking at all the different highlights from the scrimmages. And I was just like, oh, my God, this is happening.
Basketball's coming back.
The basketball games did. All these highlights were just from a few days ago.
Hey, we're only, what, like 4 or 5 days away from the start? Was it July 31st?
Yeah, Blazers' first game is on Friday. I want to say the first games are on Thursday.
I think so, yeah. I think it's Pelicans-Grizzlies or something.
But, yeah, I'm kind of with you. It's like, oh, my God, now that I have it, I don't ever want to let it go again.
I know. It's the temptation being given back to you. It's like you don't want to let go anymore. And it's been really nice to be honest with you. The crowds not being there have not really affected my enjoyment of the game. Some of the channels are putting fake crowd noise in,
or they're putting in like video game crowds.
I saw Fox do that. Yeah, that's, you don't need to do that. That's a little weird. I will say, from watching yesterday's Yankees Nationals game, whoever was on the crowd noise in that game was on point. It was like, I'm not kidding. We've talked about the fake crowd noise a little bit. In soccer, it's slightly delayed. Like, they're trying to gauge, like, if a shot's going to be a good chance, and they have the crowd reacting in a certain way. Maybe baseball is easier because the outcome of a ball being hit is a little bit easier to tell. Whoever was doing it, it sounded as legit as it could. From, like, the slight, oh, when a guy pops out to end the inning, or, you know, the hum of a crowd on a strikeout, all that kind of stuff. Like, it was really, really good, and that added to the game. I actually haven't seen one yet that hasn't had the fake crowd noise, because ESPN is also doing fake crowd noise, right? For baseball?
I believe so. I've been watching a few games, but I don't remember what channel, where they were at. I know that I was catching the Brewers Cubs yesterday, and again,
that was Fox, yeah.
Their crowd noise, they were on point with that as well. The funny thing about the Cubs game is that while there aren't fans able to be in attendance, the Chicago Cubs are one of the only teams that actually have fans watching their games, though, because they have the rooftop seats across the street from Berkeley Park in Wrigleyville there. So they had shots. They showed the fans on top of their condo buildings all watching the game.
Strange, because they said that the city said they could do it as long as they followed protocol.
And they weren't.
They were not.
No.
The one rooftop, like, they were all in the same section,
crammed together,
all next to each other. I they were not zoomed in all the way, so I couldn't tell if they were wearing masks or not. But I was like, that's, if Chicago sees this, you're not going to be able to do this anymore. I also saw, I don't know who it was, in one of the games I watched, there was just like one random guy in a mask, like slightly to the left of home plate, like five rows up and like five rows left of home plate, like just in the corner. He was just there the entire game, just sitting there. And I was like, who are you? Maybe it was like a socially distant staff member, because I don't know if you saw that some of the players are sitting like in the crowd.
Yeah.
They're in the seats. So they're like, they interviewed Max Scherzer yesterday and he was in like a box, like watching the game because he had started game one. Mm-hmm. They're just putting the players everywhere. Just like, hey, just don't be in the dugout unless you're playing. And everyone else kind of sits wherever they want. They also have built like fake little like bullpen separators as well. It's weird. But so far, it seems to be working minus the Marlins.
Right. Yeah.
I saw that today.
And the one thing that is I kind of have to keep reminding myself is that usually, obviously, with baseball opening day, it's a long, long road, 162 games. And so when opening day happens in those first games, you're like, all right, cool. Baseball started. Here we go. Here comes the marathon. And you're like, okay, baseball started. Oh, it's playoffs are in like 2 months. Yeah. And okay, this is, we're going right now. Only 60 games. It's go time right away.
Well, like, it's interesting because as a fan, and Joe, I know you can probably feel the same way about this too. As a fan, especially early in the year, you know, you get a couple of losses here and there and you're like, oh, the team doesn't look super great. And that's kind of concerning, but it's just a couple of losses. So yesterday, so I'm a Yankee fan, obviously, and for those of you, or for those of you who don't know, I'm a Yankee fan, and I was watching the first two games. Yankees won the first game, rain shortened. Yesterday, they just got killed. 9-2, Nationals won. They couldn't really hit the young pitcher who replaced Strasburg. It was just not a great game. And normally, you're like, they're playing the Nationals. They're a good team. It's a split of the first two games of the series. It's fine, right? And now it's like, man, every loss is way more important. And obviously you're going to lose games, and obviously it's going to be tough even to win 40 games in a 60 game season, right? I think you'll probably see 40 as maybe the most wins this year if a team gets really, really hot. But every single loss is going to be a huge, huge issue, and it makes it that much more stressful and frustrating, which is weird because you're like, oh, it's the second game of the season. You're like, well, it's the second game of the season, but it's not really. It's more like the 60th game of the season, and this matters more.
Yeah, and I think as far as like how the games and calendar, everything times out, I think around this time of the year, we would be getting to this 100-game mark. I mean, this is right about the time that we're getting to the last 2 months of the season, so we're getting to basically the last 60 games of the year. So essentially how things are timing out with the calendar, this is basically when this 60-game stretch starts.
It's when every game starts to matter that much more.
Exactly. But yeah, it's just this weird like mind game with yourself where you have to tell yourself it matters right away in these first games. Exactly. It's like, I'm looking at the Orioles, we're tied for first in the AL East, baby.
1-1, let's go.
And we're coming up on August and we're still in the hunt. Are you kidding me?
And then you realize it's been two games and you're like, but wait, How do I wrap my mind around this?
Oh, yeah, and there were some fan bases that were, you know, got quite the humbling right away. My Orioles being one of them, their first game against the Red Sox, it was like 13-2.
Yeah.
They won yesterday, though. So, again, they're back at 500.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know. When's that? I'd have to look up. What's the latest that they've been 500 this late in the season?
Oh, recently?
Yeah.
Probably what, like 2013 or something?
Something like that, yeah. Mariners fans, again, they were brought back to reality over the last couple of nights.
Kyle Lewis had a couple of home runs, though.
But
good for you, M's fans. One young player's panning out, even though you're losing to now the non-cheating Astros.
Yeah, just fingers crossed.
Thanks for not beating them, jerks.
Yeah, right. The Astros, one of the three teams that are undefeated to start the season, 2-0. And I think that's one thing that fans were robbed of the most, is not being able to heckle the Astros. I mean, if we're going to start a conspiracy theory, isn't it fair to say that
you can do that, though. Did you see the app?
I did not.
The app that the MLB put out, an app that you can choose to cheer or boo or clap, and it sends it to the people at the stadium who are running the sound effects. And it's only ballparks that are doing it. But if the Astros are visiting, you better, fans of whatever team that is, spam boos into that app for every batter so that they're getting booed mercilessly. It's not the same, but at least they maybe can get booed.
All the AL and NL West teams need to get on that.
They need to get on it.
No, I was going to say, though, I think it'd be safe to say, since everybody just likes throwing out conspiracy theories today, that the Houston Astros created COVID and coronavirus so that way there'd be no fans in stadiums to heckle them.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty believable conspiracy theory. Yeah. It would be a really tough year for them after what they did, cheating scum, to have to go out and face the music, and now they don't. So, yeah, maybe you're right.
No, but, now that the MLB is back, this 60-game hunt, and it's just go time right away, I'm with you. Just please, God, do everything in your power, each MLB team, to keep your team safe, keep everyone in the organization safe, and just somehow get through all of this without any hiccups. I mean, fingers crossed. I mean, again, that is
Juan Soto thing was a hiccup that already showed a loophole to me that was like, oh, they're going to really work around this, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because they were like, Juan Soto has it, asymptomatic. Everybody else, no one was near him. Nope, everyone else is eligible. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not true. That's a straight up lie, and you guys know it. So I guess if they keep lying, everything will be fine.
Oh, God, Mike.
I guess. I don't know.
I don't know either. I mean, I think it's safe to say that Adam Silver is the best commissioner in all pro sports.
Yes.
And that the NBA obviously has handled this. And I mean, NHL, you could make the case for that too.
NHL's done great. Nobody's talking about it, but
exactly.
They've had no issues with getting stuff set up. Their NHLPA worked with them and it all worked out. And they're going to Canada, which is safer. So, yeah.
So it sucks because you watch MLB and you're like, gosh, I love this so much. But as far as how they're set up to go about the season, you're like, I don't know if it will be able to last all 60 games and the playoffs on top of that. It's like,
I'm going to put the blinders on, Joe.
Again, fingers crossed.
So. Fingers crossed. For now, we have baseball and I'm going to enjoy every effing second of it.
Yes. So, and as we mentioned, NHL, they're going to be starting up soon. But we finally have a new NHL team and a team name as well. We also have a new NFL team name as well.
We do.
I guess.
It is technically their name.
Yeah, they kind of half-assed it. But, I mean, I don't know. What are you going to do at this point?
I don't know.
At 2020, no surprises at this point. So we'll get to the new NHL team name and the new NFL team name. But first, I got sports.
Weekend sports with a difference. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
So we got two team name announcements this week. One in the NFL and one in the NHL. We'll start with the NHL because I've been waiting for this basically since like January.
Okay.
I think the NHL's original plan was to announce the team name around their All-Star break, the NHL All-Star weekend. But I think that's basically when COVID and coronavirus all started to happen. And so they probably, I mean, my guess is that they shelved that for another time when things weren't going to S, basically. And the Seattle NHL hockey team has chosen their mascot slash team name, colors, and everything. They are going to be the Seattle Kraken.
I love it.
Dude.
I love it.
Me too. I was jazzed when I saw it. I was absolutely stoked about it.
I don't need a hockey team. I am a fan of a team. I'm a fan of the Devils. But if you are at all a hockey fan and you live in the Northwest and you're not really tied to a team because, well, you live up here and there hasn't been a hockey team here, why not just jump on board? A cool name, really unique. The logos are really good. Like, I love the logo work. Their primary logo is kind of like a newspaper looking S, like that kind of style, but they put a little red dot for an eye in between the crux of the top part of the S, and they have a spine as the middle of it.
And it looks like a tentacle.
It does. All at the same, it's like really, really simple, but kind of brooding and evil looking at the same time, which is pretty cool. Their secondary logo, which is just an anchor, but has the space needle as the top of the anchor, is genius. And that's going to be on their shoulders on the uniform. The only thing I don't love is their colors are a little bit weird, but I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter. I just think it's really cool. It's a really well done branding job by them. The Kraken, the second that was an option, I went, that better be the team name.
Yep.
Because that is an awesome creature, and it's just unique. No one's team name is the Kraken. It's super cool. I love it.
I had to show Joey, my son, a video of like what a Kraken was, because I was just elated about it. I'm like, dude, I'm so glad they went with that team name. Like,
all the Kraken wants is a hug. He doesn't realize his own strength.
Yeah. So I showed Joey like videos of basically it was just like a compilation video of describing what a Kraken was. And it had different like clips from shows and movies.
Like Pirates of the Caribbean.
Right. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, that
scene, I forget which one it is. I mean, there's nine pirates now, but whichever one it is where the Kraken takes the ship and just it's like they're fighting it off. And then all of a sudden there's like eight tentacles come shooting out of the sea. You're like, ah, terrifying. This is terrifying.
Yeah. And as a San Jose Shark fan, I feel like it will only be a natural rivalry to sea-dwelling monsters, a shark and a kraken.
Monsters.
Hey, man.
One is literally a monster. One is actually a real creature, but okay. There you go.
But you don't want to end up in shark-infested waters because they will rip you apart.
Yes, true.
Just like a kraken.
Yeah, okay. I think, again, you're making a little bit of a leap here. The Kraken will do much more than just that.
Ocean-dwelling monsters.
Yeah, I think, I know that I'm sure. I know that some people don't like this name. I know that some people think it's kind of kiddish, right? That it's childish.
The dumbest excuse I heard was like, oh, the Kraken is a North Atlantic Ocean creature. It cannot be in the Pacific Ocean or over on that side of the...
Actually, whoever you are, sir, it's not a real creature, so it can be wherever the hell it wants to be.
And it's
there
gigantic.
There is no such thing as a Kraken, so no, it's not a North Atlantic creature. It's mythical. People will look at it and go, well, that was made for kids, right? Suka, I think, says something similar to that. Like, he likes the name, but he was like, it's kind of childish. It kind of reminds me of the Raptors or the Mighty Ducks. Look, I'm all for the cool, unique names. Like, sports has so many copycat names for mascots and for team names that if you give me something super unique, I will love it almost guaranteed because it's just different.
Yeah.
Just give me something different, man. Don't fall. If they were like the Wildcats, it'd be like,
cool.
Wildcat number 6,000 in sports. No, it's cool and it's unique and it lets you be creative with your branding. And, you know, it makes really iconic looks too. And they're divisive, but iconic. Like, I know that a lot of the older generation thinks the Toronto Raptors early look was horrific. I grew up with the Raptors. I forget what year they came into the league. Was it 98? 96?
96?
Something like that. So I was growing up watching the NBA when they came into the league. And yeah, maybe that proves the point that it's a little bit childish because I was a child. But I loved the Raptors logo. And I loved the giant Velociraptor goofy looking thing that was on their jersey. And I've actually looked it up now. That logo and look has stood the test of time because there was like a rankings of the best jerseys in the NBA. And the old fashioned Raptors jerseys were pretty high. People like it. People like those jerseys because it's unique and it's different, right? Like when the NHL came out and they made the Atlanta Thrashers, right? And the Nashville Predators. you might think those are stupid names, but at least they're interesting.
Yeah.
At least it's not like a color. At least it's a cool, interesting name. So I don't know. I will almost always be a sucker for the cool, over-the-top mascot name. So bravo on you, Seattle. Plus their marketing videos with it were great, too.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
Yeah. And just to go back on, like, the last NHL expansion team, the Vegas Golden Knights, rather.
Right.
That, I don't know about you, but when it was announced they were going to be the Knights or the Golden Knights, it was just like a meh. Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of cool, I guess.
I understood why. The guy, I guess, he's a big Army guy. So the Army is the Black Knights, West Point. And he wanted to make them the Black Knights. They couldn't, so he picked the Golden Knights. At least Knights is not a name that you hear that often either, right? That is still somewhat unique to sports.
True.
If you really think about it, there's no Knights in any of the four major sports. The only one I can really think of is UCF.
Yeah, Central Florida.
College team, and there's so many college teams that of course you're going to have mascot names that are similar, but I at least thought that was still somewhat unique as well. So if you're, to me, there's two routes you can take. If you're an expansion team, you either are going back to a city that had a team, so you pick that old name again, right? Mm-hmm. Like the Winnipeg Jets, when they went back to Winnipeg, when Atlanta moved there, they took the Jets name back.
Yeah.
Maybe not the most creative name, but it has history behind it, and that's why it's cool. If there was ever a hockey team that went back to Hartford, they better be the Whalers. Better.
Yeah.
But if you're going to a new city, pick a really cool, unique name. And I am all for that. Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm definitely a crackhead. That's
going up to the crack den to watch the game?
The crack house,
the
yeah.
The crack house.
Man,
I don't even remember what the stadium is called. Energy Arena.
Energy Source or Energy Trust or
no, it's like it's something I don't know. It's like
Global Warming's Going to Kill Us All Arena.
That's
like that.
It. Yep. Really long name. Thanks, Amazon. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm now. This just wants me to get. I just want the Kraken to get going, so that way I can finally go see an NHL team. Because or an NHL game, because
have you never been to one live?
No, I mean, I've been here my whole life, and so you know, the closest you can either go to Vancouver across the border or you go down to San Jose, and okay. I just haven't had that opportunity.
Well, so, you've been to Winterhawks game?
Been to Winterhawks games before, yeah.
Okay, I mean, so you've seen live hockey, which yeah. is great,
and it's fantastic. Yeah. So, I mean, going to go see a professional hockey NHL game, and I can't wait, because that's obviously, once we get all sports back and everybody can come to arenas, that'll be amazing. But I'm really looking forward to go seeing the Krakens take on my Sharks. I mean, that to me, that's just it's a no-brainer rivalry right there. Sharks versus the Krakens? Are you kidding me?
Aren't the Sharks already pretty big rivals with, like, the Ducks, though, and, like, other teams in their division?
Yeah, and they're trying to make a rivalry with them in Vegas, and I don't like that.
Why?
Because
they
are
somewhat close. That's the exact same reasoning you're giving for the Kraken. They're close.
The Golden Knights, they just don't do anything for me. I mean, I understand they had their great first season where they went to the Stanley Cup Finals, but again, I don't elicit any emotion out of myself.
Well, they're too new. Just give them more time to beat you a lot, and then you'll hate them.
So the Seattle Kraken for the NHL team, and then just real quickly, we don't need to spend too much time on it because, I mean, they didn't either. The Washington football team.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of the Washington Redskins, this next season, they're going to go as the Washington football team. That's it.
Until they find a new name, which is weird to me. I feel like you can probably just pick a new name.
Yeah, I don't see what
the
problem is.
Do you really need to go into a season, which is still a month plus away, hopefully, as Washington football team? You really can't come up with a new name in a month and a half for a football team? You know, he apparently likes the Warriors, right? He likes a couple other names. Just go with that.
I mean, you
the
are
Washington football team.
You are a billionaire. Just make it happen. You know, write a check.
You're the owner of the team. Yeah. You can do whatever you want.
Make something happen, for God's sake.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, I'm glad they changed the logo, because I thought it was weird that we were still kind of calling them the Redskins, even though they had agreed to change it. But like, that's like, what do you say, right? It's like, well, Redskins owner Dan Snyder. It's like, oh, the Washington football team owner. Well, now we will have to say the Washington football team owner. But they did change the logo to the W, at least. They got rid of the Native American face, and they made it a W in kind of stupid font. But again, it's temporary. So, it is what it is.
I think
it's silly that they can't make up their mind. But, hey, at least they got rid of the old look.
I'm still holding out for the Washington Hogs.
The Hogs.
Yeah.
I liked, was it Red Tails for the Tuskegee Airmen?
Yeah.
I like that name a lot. I think that's cool and has a good historical.
Yeah. And it could just
influence
be,
in
it could be the cynic in me, that just, I'm not going to bank on Dan Snyder renaming his team that he called the Redskins after an all black air squadron, you know, like
maybe right.
I think that would be a fantastic name. I think that's really unique. But again, he was adamant about not changing the Redskins name. So I'm not going to bank on Dan Snyder making the moral decision of going, you know, dedicating the team name after that.
That's probably a good point. That's probably a fair point, especially considering they just had the fun sexual harassment stuff come out against them as well.
Yeah. So fingers crossed that it ends up being the Washington Hogs.
I don't think it will. I don't think it will. Sorry to disappoint you.
I like team names that have literally nothing to do with the city. Like when Vancouver Grizzlies are now in Memphis, but they still call themselves the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
Even though there are no Grizzlies in Memphis,
the Utah Jazz, yeah.
Oh, of course, where they don't allow music.
Yep. The Los Angeles Lakers.
All right. Well, speaking of the tons of lakes, beautiful, beautiful, bountiful lakes there.
The city of 10,000 lakes, right?
Of course. All right. We talked about the Washington Redskins, and there's one former player who is doing something that's quite brave, and we'll finish the show there, along with another NFL player who's doing something brave as well that's not football related. So we'll get to those two, end the show off on a high note here on Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
Weekend sports with a difference. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
All right, just a couple more minutes left in the show, and I wanted to get to two NFL players who I've mentioned are showing their bravery in two completely different ways. We will start with...
Are they being really brave, or are you mocking them?
No. I'm being serious here.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, dead serious.
I wasn't sure if you were like, oh, so brave.
No. Both of them, they're just amazing to me. One... As we mentioned, the Washington football team, their former quarterback, Alex Smith, who had one of the most devastating injuries in sports history.
Almost lost his leg.
Literally almost had to get it amputated.
Yes, not exaggerating that.
His physicians have cleared him for football activities. Mm. And to me, the fact that...
Is he on a team?
I don't know. I don't know if the Redskins kept him on the payroll at all or... You know, in the organization somehow, but he is, I don't know if he sought the clearance himself or they just let him know, like, hey, Alex, just to let you know, check your test results out. You can play football again if you want to, you know, just let you know.
I bet you he probably sought it out.
I wouldn't be surprised because there's, you know, these guys are super competitive. It's like when surfers are out in the ocean and they get attacked by a shark. Oh, 6 months later, I was on my board. Mm-hmm. It's like,
they're not keeping me out of the water.
Exactly. It's like, oh, my God. Okay. So, A, if Alex Smith takes up that offer of returning to football, that is just insane to me to do that with what his leg has looked like in some of the documentaries and videos that you've seen. So, kudos to him if he even takes the field ever again.
I mean, if I were Alex Smith, I would not. I mean, you were already a veteran at the point of the injury. I can't imagine that you're struggling financially. You took such a scary injury, and it was such a long recovery. And you're free of the recovery now. To put yourself back in a situation where you would have to go through something like that again,
yeah,
I cannot imagine having to make that decision and go, I could get injured again and deal with it again. Well, it's like what Andrew Luck said, right? Andrew Luck basically, when he retired, said, I just can't go through this anymore.
Right.
I can't go through the injuries.
The constant rehabbing and nursing an injury and then am I okay and getting back to playing but still being worried about it. Yeah, it's a crazy mental game.
Yeah, and it's like for him, he was what, a year and he had to go to Europe and get platelet injections and stuff. Andrew Luck I'm talking about. And he was just like, I mentally can't do it anymore. That's tough.
Yeah.
So if I was Alex Smith, I don't think I would put myself in that situation after multiple years of needing rehab and surgeries to have to put yourself in that situation again. But hey, if he's wired differently and wants to give it a try, I mean, yeah, more power to him.
So Alex Smith might return to the football field. We'll see if he does. But one player that's leaving the football field is Kansas City Chiefs lineman Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. and he has been the starter for them for years now. Started every snap for them in the Super Bowl, the Chiefs. And he becomes the first player to decide not to return to the NFL when they start play back up. And that's because he's a damn doctor. And he has been working on essentially the front lines in Canada. That's where he's from. I believe he's from Quebec. But he's a licensed doctor in Canada, and
he's been fighting COVID.
He has been on the front lines working in hospitals, dealing with patients, helping patients with COVID, and he becomes the first NFL player that has decided to sit out the NFL season because he says he wants to continue helping people.
Do we know, first of all, that's awesome.
Yes.
Bravo to him. Do we know, is the NFL going to allow players to opt out without any penalty?
And that is what we'll basically leave you on, is that tomorrow is when they will sign their proposals. Whatever solution they've come up with, they will sign that likely tomorrow. And then from that point, NFL players have a week to decide to opt out. So he is the first player to opt out, and we could potentially see a few more in the next week or so.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I hope the NFL does like the other sports have done and allow players to opt out. I think that's important. So, yeah. Good on him. It's a good move.
Seriously.
Yeah. I like that.
Again, like I said, two players kind of showing their bravery in completely different ways. One maybe going back to the field and one removing himself from the field. So, there's the end of the show on a high note for you. In these crazy trying times, as everyone says, in every single commercial that you see on TV now.
Yes, yes. Milk it, advertisers, milk it.
Yes. But if you can, watch some baseball today. MLB is back. The Blazers, they have their scrimmage. Again, that's at 3 o'clock on NBA TV. So watch that if you can as well. Yusuf Nurkic looked great in his return. So sports are back in some way or shape or form. So.
Sports are back. Next Sunday, we'll have NBA games to talk about, too.
That's right.
Wow.
First Blazer game we'll be able to talk about. So.
Hell yeah.
We'll be back next Sunday. Thank you, Mike, for letting me handle the one share
for
you. Of
course. Thank you for sharing the load. Appreciate it.
Giving you somewhat of a day off. So.
Yeah, a little less pressure. I appreciate it.
Right, right. All right, and we will hopefully have Rashad back next week. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in to Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan.